Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 232 for December 27th, 2009. The song you're listening to is Who's Smoking? From the album Who's Smoking? And the artist is Paquito de Rivera. And you can find a link to this music in my show notes at www.hometravelagent.net. Well, I'm Barry Kantz, your host for the show, and we have Lorraine Romero, the co-host, coming up in a segment here where we're going to talk about cruising in China, a riverboat cruise in China. We're going to talk about what you're going to see, what you can tell your clients they may see if they go on a riverboat cruise in China. And our guest is Mike Davies, who recently returned from a riverboat cruise in China, and he's going to tell us all about his experiences, so stand by for that. And if you want more information about the Home Base Travel Agent Show, you can go over to the website at www.hometravelagent.net, and on the main page there, you can put your email address in and sign up to get the show notes delivered to your email box, and you can find the archives. You can find many of the past shows of the Home Base Travel Agent Show listed on the website. And there's a player right there, so all you have to do is just click on the player and you can listen to the show right at the website. And I want to thank Citrix for being a sponsor of the show and their product GoToMeeting. You know, the whole environment that you're working in isn't constrained to a single location. And how well do I know that? Our company, Raw Voice, we work virtually. We have members from Colorado and Hawaii and New York and Michigan and Ohio. And you know, often we get together and we use GoToMeeting. And this is a great tool because we can have our clients and our colleagues can be anywhere across the globe. So you can cover miles and minutes by holding a meeting online anywhere in the world with GoToMeeting. But no matter where your contacts are, you can reach them quickly. And you know what I love the most about GoToMeeting is how easy it is for everyone else. The meeting attendees don't need to have the software. All they need to have is a click and a link, and they're there. They're in the meeting. And what's really cool, GoToMeeting's low, flat monthly rate includes free voice over IP and phone conferencing, so you can join the call via the phone or through the web. Now, our listeners have a special offer in that they can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. Now, that's an unlimited online meetings for free for 30 days. And to take advantage of this offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/podcast. And that's gotomeeting.com/podcast, and get your free trial. Well, as some of you know, we just returned from a trip to Key West, and it was quite a trip. First time I've ever been down to Key West. And it was interesting, and what a great place to go, especially if you're from Michigan, where we're having snow and freezing rain and all kinds of wonderful stuff. So the trip to Key West was great. We had an interesting time. Actually, we were going to spend a couple of days in a Kempton Hotel in Miami, and that's the Hotel Epic. You know, I was really looking forward to staying at another Kempton Hotel since we stayed at one in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and that one was the Hotel Marlowe. And we really enjoyed it, and I was really looking forward to staying at the Hotel Epic. As we were leaving Grand Rapids, our plane was delayed, and I realized we're going to get in really late last Friday. So I gave the Epic a call, and they told me they weren't taking guests. And I'm going, what? You know, we got reservations, and you're not taking guests. Well, they told me that they had a water problem, and that they were going to put people up at the Four Seasons Hotel, pay for the first night, and give us a voucher for one free night at the Hotel Epic. Well, that sounded like a pretty good deal, and actually it was. I mean, they really did take care of us well. So we got to Miami and spent our first couple of nights at the Four Seasons Hotel, and I would highly recommend that hotel as well. It's very nice. It's a luxury hotel, and it was a great stay. Can't complain about it a bit. So, you know, if you have anyone that's cruising out of the port of Miami, I'm sure you couldn't go wrong by putting them up at the Four Seasons Hotel. Or the Hotel Epic, for that matter, but I haven't stayed there yet, and I'll get more to that here in a minute. So anyhow, after a couple days at the Four Seasons Hotel, we drove down to Key West, had a great time. We did a lot of things, enjoyed our stay. We stayed at the Pier House Hotel, the Pier House Beach Resort, I think it is. And it actually is. It has a little beach, and it's right there on the ocean. And it's a very nice place to stay. I would highly recommend that if you have clients going down to Key West. That's a great place to put them. It's at the end of Duval Street, and that's the main street. So your clients don't have to take a cab or worry about getting downtown where the action is. It's right there. And what was surprising, too, is it was quiet. You know, I expected staying on Duval Street to be noisy and having trouble getting to sleep, but that wasn't the case. So I was happy about that. So we finished up our stay in Key West, and we headed back up to Miami to spend a couple more nights in the Miami area before flying back here to Grand Rapids. And we called the Hotel Epic, hoping that their water problem was fixed, and discovered that they still weren't accepting guests. And we got the same deal again, a free night at the Four Seasons and another voucher for a future stay at the Epic. And some friends of ours, as we were driving north to Miami, some friends of ours called us, and they had just read in the newspaper that the Hotel Epic was closed because it was suspected that three people who stayed there contracted Legionnaire's disease, and they may have contracted Legionnaire's disease from the hotel's HVAC, air conditioning system. So that whole thing was under investigation. The Center for Disease Control was and is doing tests, and so is the local health department. And they're not sure that the Epic was the result of these cases of Legionnaire's disease, but they wanted to make sure before that they opened up and let guests stay there. You know, the Epic really did treat us nice. They were good about it. You know, we got a couple of free nights in a hotel, and we have future vouchers to use. And I guess we couldn't go wrong. Well, I guess we could go wrong. If we would have stayed there and gotten Legionnaire's disease, that would have been really bad. And, you know, nonetheless, I was really happy by the way we were treated throughout this whole thing. And I appreciate the Kempton Hotels, and I can't wait until my next day at a Kempton. You know, who knows? They have three of them in Chicago, so we may end up taking a weekend and go to Chicago and stay in one of those Kemptons there. Anyhow, enough about my recent travels. Hopefully it's somewhat instructive for you, though, because, you know, the Epic is a great place to put clients, pre-cruise or post-cruise, and so is the Four Seasons. So a couple of good opportunities there to learn a little bit about the hotels near the port of Miami. So with that, let's talk about China. So we'll get right into the co-hosted segment of the show, and here we go. Well, welcome everybody to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show co-hosted segment. Glad to have you back, and I really appreciate all of you listeners out there tuning into the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, and I know that we work hard to make sure you learn something about the travel business. And once again, we have a special guest who will talk about some interesting things that I'm sure that you can put into your notebooks and help your clients out coming up here in the future. So with that, I want to have Laureen Romero, who is our co-host and with us today, I want to have Laureen introduce our guest.
Great. Thank you, Bear. I would like to introduce, and he has been on the show recently, Mike Davies. He is the owner of RiverDiscounts.com, a very, very thriving owner and entrepreneur of a company whose focus is solely on riverboat cruises. This man has not sold other mass market cruises or even tours for anything other than riverboat cruising, and I think it's absolutely wonderful to be able to have a specialized niche like that. Now, Mike has been on the show recently, and we wanted to have him back because he just returned from a trip that had an itinerary that will make everybody envious. So, Mike, welcome back. Thank you for being on the show again. And please tell us about where you just returned from. I know you just returned, so this is all fresh for you. And thank you for coming on and sharing it.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. I was really excited because river cruising, I've done quite a few of them, but I just got an opportunity and just returned just a few days ago. So I'm in a sort of time zone warp here, keep waking up at 3 in the morning and going to work. Just returned from China. I was lucky enough to be invited by Viking River Cruises. They put on a trip, and it was sponsored by China Air, Viking, and Shangri-La Hotels for 14 days to China about just returned 3-4 days ago. See, I don't even know what day it is. Anyway, I had never had experience in this part of the world, and everybody or travel agents out there, I'm sure, know that until you've actually put your foot down on the floor in the places, you really don't know a lot about them, and you maybe sell them, but you're not quite sure. But once you've been to these places, you come back with a new, very deep perception of what the client is going to enjoy in these parts of the world, what they will enjoy and what they may not enjoy, and you're very much prepared to deal with this, and your sales do increase without any doubt. And if anything else, I'd like to make sure today that you travel agents do take advantage that all of the river cruise lines will offer you very decent fam rates, probably cheaper than staying at home sometimes, considering all the wine and food and interesting things you get to see. So please take advantage of these fam rates. You contact any of the river cruise lines, as long as you're an accredited travel agent, they're more than happy to have space on some of these cruises. You can go through NACTA, also offered by Platinum Seminars, and many different places that offer river cruises. But China is just so different. There's a little bit of history. We need to understand that it's still a communist country, but it's become very entrepreneurial in the last 30 years or so. When I was there, there were these huge billboards all over the country in Chinese and English. Even though the population don't speak too much English, they want products which are sort of Americanized. There are Kentucky Fried Chickens. There are Burger Kings. There's McDonald's, and there's even Pizza Hut. And when I was there, even though they don't celebrate Christmas, they're all dressed up in Santa Claus suits in the restaurants. So it's become so commercialized. In such a quick period of time, there's a huge amount of newly rich people in the country. And in the Shangri-La Hotel, for instance, in Beijing, that we were staying in the basement of the hotel, there are over 100 of the best stores in the world, and they're selling real Cartier watches and real Prada, and all of these 100 stores are all busy, and the people are in there spending money. On the other hand, the average Chinese citizen earns approximately $200 a month if he has a job. And there are beggars on the streets, and there are peddlers following us everywhere, trying to sell us silk purses, not made out of sow's ears, but silk purses that they're selling for a dollar or two for a dollar or anything that they can get their hands on. They're selling to make money. It's a wonderful country. It's very interesting because of the dichotomy of the poorest of the poor. We saw a man walking his pig down the street. The 1.5 million people who were taken out of the valley so they could flood the dam for the Three Gorges Dam. These people were all put into new houses, new high-rise buildings. They were given these houses, 9 stories high, but there's no elevators, and there's no hot water, and there's no heating. We went to a school which was sponsored by Viking. There's no heating in the school. There's 50 kids in a class. They're all wearing their clothes, their outerwear, and their gloves. It's so cold. And the teacher has a little switch which he sort of, we talk about corporal punishment, we won't talk about that, but if a child misbehaves, whack, keeps them quiet like the old Catholic schools. But the kids are very happy, and they're learning, and they're writing in their books, and they are learning English. And even though there's only a one child rule in China, the parents give everything to their child. The whole thing is to get the child a good education. They go to school after they get out of school, and they buy them the most beautiful clothes. They use all their income because they really believe the children are going to go and make their way in the world in a way that they couldn't do. I'm going to read something now because it was something that a guide told us. In a hutong. A hutong is a living area where the families used to live together in Beijing. And I'm not going to read a big thing, but it tells you, it summarizes what's happened in the country. He told us that his parents, grandfather and sister, and he, they lived in a two-room house about the size of about one hotel room. There were 20 families who shared an Eastern-style toilet, and I can tell you what that is. My wife has pictures of it. It's a hole in the ground. And if they wanted to take a shower, he used to have to walk to a public shower place. He said they were very happy, and they didn't understand it, and they were told not to waste any food because there were children starving in America. Now, he owns a high-rise apartment, which he bought in Beijing, with three bedrooms and two bathrooms. And all this has happened in the last 20 years. So this is China. So this is not the place you go, like Vienna or Danube or Budapest, and you see the Vienna Philharmonic, and you eat, and you have a Sachertort. This is real history, folks. The buildings are magnificent. I'll give you a brief rundown of what it involved. It was about 14 days with about 12 days altogether. It is somewhat tiring. You need to be fit. You leave from the West Coast, and it's a 10 to 12-hour flight. And you arrive in Shanghai, and you arrive basically 2 days later than you left. So that's somewhat confusing. But on the way back, you get extra 2 days. I want to say that my wife celebrated her 70th birthday when we were in Beijing, and she walked the Great Wall. I managed to get to the second turret. She was determined. She got to the third. She completed that on her 70th birthday.
Wow.
They had a party for her in the hotel, and then the following night, she celebrated her birthday again according to the U.S. time. Because of the time difference, she had two birthdays. So she had a birthday cake, and in the hotel, the Shangri-La, one of the most magnificent hotels I've ever seen, they provided us some roses and a bottle of champagne, which was really nice. So again, I go off the track. So we get to Shanghai. We've gone to see the Shanghai Museum, which is on five levels. It's free, open to the public. There are no fees involved. You do have to go through a security system. And interestingly, we were carrying bottled water. And as we went through the security system, they made sure that we opened the water and drank some of it, just to make sure there wasn't something else in there. Maybe they were looking for vodka. I'm not quite sure. That evening, we went to see the most amazing Shanghai acrobatics. You know, the Chinese are just absolutely amazing. Not only jumping all over the place, but spinning plates and standing on chairs, and I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's a wonderful thing to see. After Shanghai, we fly to Wuhan. And in Wuhan, they have a provincial museum and a waterfront with a copy of the Bund, which has so wonderful, magnificent buildings down there. And that is Wuhan. We visited there the elementary school, as I said, which was sponsored by Viking River Cruises. And at this time, we're boarding the ship. Now, the ship, Viking used to have two. Now, they've just got one, the Century Star. And this is going to take a trip along through the dock, through the locks of the Grand Dam that was built to flood the Three Gorges, which is now at up to a height of 170 meters. There are three gorges, and after you go through the dam, which has a lift, and I'm not an engineer now, but I think it was about 500 feet in five locks, and we go through a step at a time, and it took about 6 hours altogether, but these locks are huge. They're not like the ones in Europe where you put one boat in. Each of these locks took our craft plus six other full-size barges, so they're very large locks. Go through, that's called the Three Gorges Dam. Then after you go through the dam, there are what they call the lesser three gorges, which are not accessible from the big ship. Now let's talk about the big ship. It took 360 passengers. It had four deck levels. All the rooms were at least 300 square feet, and they all had actual balconies on them. There was a beautiful area on the top deck with wonderful wooden deck chairs, and then there was another lounge underneath that, rather palatial, where they put on the shows. The restaurant served, guess what? Mostly Chinese food. You need to like Chinese food to go to China. Now, I will admit, at lunchtime and breakfast, they did serve American food. They served salads. They served sushi. But in the evening, it was basically Chinese food, believe it or not. On one night, they put hamburgers on the menu. And everybody went, wow, this will be nice. But they really don't know how to cook hamburgers. They cooked them, I think, in the afternoon or something. But we'll let them away with that one. Every meal, they did serve either beer, wine, or mineral waters on the ship. And also, when we went ashore for lunches, all the meals were included every day in the hotels. And they did serve drinks, mineral waters. Strange thing was, Pepsi is free, but if you want a diet Pepsi, it costs extra. So us fat people didn't do any good on that one. On the trip, the last port of call was what I call Chongqing, where we got off to fly to Sichuan, or Sichuan. In Chongqing, they have the famous zoo, and we actually got to see six pandas up close having their breakfast. That was very interesting. The charge to get into the zoo was like 40 yuan, which is about $3 or $4, which is a lot of money for the local citizens. We then flew to Xi'an, spelled X-I-A-N, which was the beginning of the Tang Dynasty, and this is where the terracotta warriors were discovered. And it's so hard to describe what you see when you walk into this huge room, which is the size of 2 football fields, and you see these warriors. They have excavated, like, I believe, 8,000 so far, and they've only done one pit, as they call it. Each one has a different face. They say that these warriors were built, and they were actually based on real soldiers in the army. Some people have said they're too tall to be Chinese, but the actual historians say that the emperor built them larger than real life, because when he got to the next life, he wanted his soldiers to be bigger than his opponent's soldiers. It's a fascinating story, and if you ever in your life get the opportunity to go there, it's an absolutely magnificent experience. From Xi'an, we went over to, flew to Beijing, spent 2 days in Beijing, again at the Shangri-La hotels, which are first-class deluxe hotels. They are first-class deluxe hotels down to the following little details. Every night there are slippers newly placed by your bed on top of a towel. The shower is big enough for 3 people. There are marble throughout the bathrooms. The rooms all average 450 square feet. They have free internet access. They have what I believe are called Acceleron, or not sure the pronunciation of the chairs, Aerolon chairs at a desk. Each room has a 42-inch flat-screen plasma television. Breakfast is included, and breakfast is a fascinating sight. It stretches for about 200 feet, and the reason it does is they have breakfast for 12 different nationalities of food. The American section is way down the other end. We had a Japanese section, an Indian section, an Indonesian section, a Chinese section, and even an Arab section. It was just, and the layout of the food itself was so fresh and magnificent. The Chinese love to place beautiful things in beautiful setting, and they don't miss out on the food because everything looks so magnificent. I've missed a couple of things. One of them was a visit to a silk carpet factory, which was amazing to watch these people build. Another one was to an art school where they make watercolors and they inscribe magnificent pictures on the inner side of glass bottles. And I have with me, actually, in my hand, something I got in Chongqing, which is called leaf vein painting. They take a banyan leaf, and they take the color out of it and paint on it in watercolors. It's absolutely beautiful, and I brought one of those back with me. Of course, the terracotta warriors, everywhere you walk around there, someone is coming up trying to sell you terracotta warriors for a dollar for the box. Of course, we were told by our guide that these are made in the backyard, and they're not baked in the kiln, and when you bring them home, they're basically going to disintegrate on you. In Beijing, as I said, these magnificent seven-story shopping centers with all the fake watches and all the fake bags and fake jewelry in the world. Our ladies on this tour went absolutely crazy there. I had a lady who bought 100 necklaces to give to her clients. I had another one who bought 50 of them. And by the time they negotiated down, these necklaces were less than 75 cents each. I want to talk about the guides. The guide we had with us took care of absolutely everything. And this is what you need, and this is what you love about the way Viking does this trip. He made sure that all our bags got from the hotel to the airport to the hotel, onto the plane. He issued the boarding passes at the airport. He made sure everyone was where they were supposed to be. On every bus trip, they used a bus which took about 45 people, but there were only like 27 of us on the bus. And the most important thing in his life, because we had about 23 lady travel agents between the ages of 40 and 60, was to locate the happy rooms. What do you think happy that was, Lorraine?
What we had to pay for in Europe?
I don't know what you were doing in Europe that you had to pay for. Was this in Amsterdam? Did it have a red light over the door? I'll tell you what the happy rooms were. The happy rooms were bathrooms. And this is so important, of course, to these ladies. They need to find happy rooms. Whenever the bus door opened, they needed to find a happy room. Now, they call them happy rooms because they're always happy when they come out. And the happy rooms in China are actually rated with stars on them. 5-star, 3-star, 2-star happy rooms. And that was our guide's job. He took us in one day, all the way from Tiananmen Square through the whole of the Forbidden City and touched 8 happy rooms on the way from one end to the other that had to be used. And he was our guide throughout the whole 12 days. And he was always there, and he took care of absolutely every question. He negotiated the prices at some of the jade factories I forgot to tell you about. Jade factories are so popular, I saw 1,200 jade bracelets in one case.
Wow.
Now, it is strange that the jade factory actually treated us to lunch and beer and wine and everything. So when we came out, we were happy to look at jade. They also gave us a history lesson about jade and how to tell good jade from bad jade. I've missed an awful lot. I know I have. But that was really just a basic, and it went so quickly in 12 days. By the time we got back on the plane in Beijing to come back and landed in Los Angeles, it was just like a whirl. Thankfully, we took over 450 pictures, and we took about an hour and a half of video. And not all of it, of course, will come out, but it will bring back wonderful memories. We had a picture taken at the Great Wall. We were actually there at the Great Wall 2 days after Barack Obama was there. And when we saw the photograph of him on the wall with no one else around him, we laughed because that place is always busy. The section of the wall we went to was about an hour and a half north of Beijing, and it was really magnificent. So that's my, if there's anything I missed, you can send me an email to mike@riverdiscounts.com, and I'd be more than happy to call you and talk to you about it or tell you anything that I've missed on this trip about the hotels or about transportation or the ship itself. It's very hard to explain it all out in one go.
Well, that sounds, it was an absolute wonderful trip, and that you had a good time. Now, the service, you've been on Viking before, obviously.
Yes.
Was the service that you experienced on this trip similar to other Viking trips you've been on?
It's interesting you say that, because it was somewhat different. It was somewhat different in the way that in the restaurant, we tended, even though it was open seating, you tend to go back to the same tables, because our waiter and waitress had a group of three tables, and on the first day they asked our name, and they kept repeating it. And they knew, good morning, Mike, good morning, Julie, hi, Mike, hi, Julie, would you like your tea, would you like this or the other? Now, this does happen somewhat in Europe, if you have some good staff. We found the people who were cleaning the rooms were really wonderful. They had very little English, but they did try. But in the restaurant and in the bars, we found the wait staff, the wine waiters, to be somewhat, when I say brusque, I mean, I'm here to take your order, give it to me, kind of thing. But you sort of got used to that, the ones who were selling the wine. But the wait people were very, very kind. And of course, on this, they do say that you would put in an envelope $10 a day per person for the trip on the ship, which we did. We were most happy to do that. And then, of course, we went back and we gave the wait staff like $20, $30 each, because the relative value of the dollar is strong to them. $20 is what they would probably earn possibly in a week. So it is very much appreciated.
Terry, did you have any questions for Mike? I just think you did such a thorough job. I know that you're saying that you missed things, but I'm just speechless around what you're saying, because it's just, you've given such good detail, and it's exciting.
Thank you.
I'm happy. Thank you. Thank you. Barry, did you have any questions?
No, I think Mike covered the topic to the degree that it has piqued my interest. Actually, I love Asia. I've been there before, not China, but to Thailand, and I would go back in the drop of a hat. And Mike, your story has just whetted my appetite even more. Thank you.
Thank you. I think just a couple of things in closing, if I may. Viking still has only one ship. They had two. There were four in the fleet, and now the Century Company is going to be marketing them to Americans. So that's a new option. It may make it more competitive. Also, there's a company, an American-owned company, called Victoria Cruises, who have just launched a ship called the Victoria Jenna, and they have three other ships. And you can do the cruise itself in a beautiful cabin for between 4 and 7 days. And you can do that for between $1,500 to $2,500. So it's not too expensive.
That's very reasonable.
Well, thank you, Mike. Could you give our listeners your contact information one more time? And I encourage people to contact Mike, because this is Mike on the phone. Wonderful. He's charming. He's very knowledgeable. And I do not say that sarcastically. Mike, you and I spent over a week together, and I do think we spent almost every dinner together, which was an honor. I think we did. I was asking a gal, because I'm pretty sure we were with them almost the entire week, which was great, and it was a pleasure to get to know you. So, again, what is your contact information?
Well, I'll give you a couple for this. The sort of the coverage site is called riverdiscounts.com. But I do have information on the trip that I took, along with some photographs, at one of our sites, along with information on the Mekong Delta and Taux China and the Myanmar Chindwin, the Irrawaddy in Burma, the Mekong in Cambodia, the River Kwai, and the Ganges in India. We have a website just for that. And it's called AsiaRiverCruising.com. So that's AsiaRiverCruising.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach me at Mike@RiverDiscounts.com.
Awesome. Thank you, and I will make sure that Barry has this information in the show notes. Barry, what is your contact information if some of our listeners want to reach you?
Yeah, I can be reached at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And Laureen?
My email address is sharptongued@mac.com, and that's spelled sharptongued@mac.com. And thank you again, Barry. You put such hard work into the shows, and I know that the holidays are coming up, and we're going to be taking a little break. Mike, thanks again. And, I mean, you get such great detail. This is wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks much, Mike. Okay, thanks, Lorraine. Thanks, Mike. And we'll move on along in the show here. And I do have a couple of news, kind of news-related items, I guess. They're not really news, but somewhat related here on the first story, anyhow. And I'm going to be talking about a website called Cruise Line Fans, cruiselinefans.com. And it's one of the fastest growing and most friendly and informative cruise travel forums on the web. You can go onto this forum and discuss all kinds of popular topics related to cruising and cruises. According to Cruise Line Fans, the top stories that were discussed on their site this year are the Oasis of the Seas, which is the Royal Caribbean's massive floating city, the largest cruise ship in the world. And that was a big topic on Cruise Line Fans. Also, the Disney Dream was also a topic. Now, the Disney Dream isn't floating yet. It's not cruising yet. But you can book reservations for the Disney Dream, and it'll be sailing out in 2010. Another big story was about the economy and how the cruise fares have dropped and gone down throughout the year. And what a great deal for your clients to take advantage of the cruise deals. And there's Carnival Dream. They said the Carnival Dream was one of the top stories because this is a new class of cruise ships. The Carnival Dream can carry 3,646 passengers, so it's a huge ship as well. And it has an ocean plaza, indoor-outdoor cafe, and a live music venue. So that was a big story on Cruise Line Fans. And the last big story that they mentioned was the Royal Caribbean's loyalty program. And what happened with this story was has to do with the loyalty program. And a little controversy arose out of that as some of the people belonging to the Diamond Club loyalty program began posting favorable posts on Cruise Line Fans. And it was alleged that these posts were posted in exchange for perks within the Diamond Club. So people were posting favorable things about the Royal Caribbean program and about the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line in exchange for perks and not disclosing that. So that was some controversy on cruiselinefans.com. So if you want to learn more about cruises, cruising, and get the latest scoop, and also over on cruiselinefans.com, there is a section there where people can ask travel agents questions. So you may want to go over to cruiselinefans.com and sign up as a travel agent and have an opportunity to answer people's questions, which may bring you some business. So check it out, cruiselinefans.com. Now, another interesting website that I came across is, and it's a fairly new website, it's nearmyairport.com. Now, nearmyairport.com, you can go there and you can find nearby airport restaurants, nearby airport apartments, rental cars, taxi cabs, nearby travel agents, nearby pharmacies and hospitals. And it's all on an easy-to-use website at nearmyairport.com. And you may just want to check that one out. If you have people that are traveling, you can use this website to give them some valuable information about where to stay and where to eat and what to do. So check out nearmyairport.com. And I'll have links to both of these websites that I've discussed in the show notes. And I have to say, these websites I found interesting. And that's why they're on the show. They're not on the show because we are not receiving any perks, no loyalty programs, no money, nothing for talking about these websites. It's just that I found them interesting and I thought I'd pass them along to you. With that, it's time to call the show to a close. And I do want to mention next week is New Year's Eve or New Year's weekend. And we will be out of town. Therefore, there will not be a show on January 3rd. So there will be no show on January 3rd, 2010, But we will pick right up again the next week, and we expect to have Deb Gronsky back, a travel agent. Actually, her show was never posted because we lost the audio, so she will be back. We will re-record that show, and it's about the Oasis of the Seas. And Deb took one of the maiden voyages, one of the maiden fam trips on the Oasis of the Seas, and she's going to talk about her experience on that huge ship. So look forward to that. And if you're traveling, travel safe, have a great new year, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.